in this place.
Hallelujah. We give God the glory. I am Pastor Irene, and I first and foremost want to thank Pastor Gideon for giving me the opportunity to speak today. I do not take that opportunity lightly, and I thank Pastor Gideon for his nurturing heart. We know that he trains us in South Street so that we can do the very things that God says that we can do. So I give God the glory for him. And I thank God that as I am being nurtured, I'm growing in my area of giftedness, and you are growing as well. So I'm a product of his nurturing. So thank you, Pastor Gideon, for the opportunity to speak. Now, if you're wondering who I am, I'm a mother of three. I have three ladies, and I'm one of the teachers in the church. I teach the Vision Pathway. I'm also one of the inner healing and deliverance ministers. So that's who I am. So as a mother, I say happy Mother's Day to all mothers out there. I see loads and loads and loads of you. So I say happy Mother's Day to every single mother out there, whether you are a grandmother, you're a stepmother, you're a surrogate mother, you are a mother-to-be, mother-in-waiting, whatever mother it is that you are, I wish you happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. It is wonderful to see so many of you, and yes, I'm excited about today, and I believe God has a message for every single one, not just for mothers, but for everyone. And the mothers, you are looking beautiful. May I say that? Let me compliment you. You've done well. So yeah, keep it up, keep it up. It's your day, so enjoy. Mm-hmm. Yes, and may I continue to wish you happy Mother's Day, and I say enjoy and experience. I pray that you experience the joy of motherhood. And I pray blessings on you this day. Real blessings. I pray that God will bring light into every dark situation that you are going through right now. And I pray for God's love to surround you and to fill your hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, mothers, enjoy motherhood, whatever stage you are at. Whether you have a toddler who is touching things and you have to rearrange the house, or you are a mother of a teenager and you're encountering the joys of being a teenage mother, enjoy. I pray that God will give you the wisdom to navigate this time that you are in. You both come out. Trust me, I've been there three times and I came out. You will come out too. So may God bless you. And whether you are a grandparent, enjoy motherhood. I remember Reverend West Sutton said that, you know, grandchildren is the gift. It is the reward you get for not killing your children. So enjoy your grandchildren. God bless you. And I thank Reverend West Sutton for that wisdom that he has given. So if you're going through that, enjoy it right now. It shall soon pass. Hallelujah. And God bless you for those sleepless nights that you endured as a mother to make life comfortable for your children. God bless you. Your job is not done yet. There's still more to come, but I pray that God will strengthen you to continue to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I know that today is an exciting day for mothers, and we are all thanking mothers and praising mothers, and there's smiles everywhere, but I'm very much aware that not everybody is enjoying Mother's Day as you and I may be enjoying it, because some people may have lost their mothers, and I pray God's comfort upon you. Others too may not have had a good relationship with their mothers, and therefore when that day comes around, they dread it because those memories come back. I pray that the God of all comfort, the God of peace, will surround your hearts just as we sang. You know, the love of God will surround you and fill your hearts and deal with that pain. We'll be praying for you in a minute. And some people, so some mothers, for some reason, at the point of giving birth to your child, you may have given your child up for adoption, and therefore you are yearning, you wish you had your child there right with you. I pray for God to be with you right now. And for some people too, you are grieving because you've lost your children, maybe through birth, or some evil person cut their life short, and therefore you don't have the chance to enjoy your child as you would do. I pray, we'll be praying for you right now. And for some people too, you do long to be mothers, but your wombs are closed. I pray God will open your wombs if you are that age and you have gone past too. May God ease that pain off you. Hallelujah. And this one came to me, as I was praying, it came to me that for some of you may have actually aborted a child when you were young, and therefore you live with the pain and the guilt, tremendous guilt. I pray for that guilt to be removed of you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, it is true that we should not take life, but you know what? God has a way of forgiving us. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even as you have done that, I pray for that guilt to be removed of you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for that you will encounter God's peace. Even as you come to God and you confess what you did at the time of your ignorance, I pray for that burden, that guilt, that shame to be removed of you right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray for the blood of Jesus to cleanse you, that your sins will be removed. Jesus died on the cross, that we will receive remission of sins. So right now, I pray that you will receive that in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to your name. And Father, I pray for all the other groups I mentioned who may be going through a difficult time and not enjoying Mother's Day. Father, I pray, Father God, your peace, Father God, that surpasses all understanding, to remain upon them right now. Father, you are the God of all comfort. Comfort those who are mourning and not enjoying Mother's Day, Father, today. That as of today, when Mother's Day come round, they will not mourn, but they will receive your love in their hearts, and they'll begin, Father, to smile even on Mother's Day, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Father, as your word goes forth today, I pray that your word will bring peace, your word will bring comfort, your word will bring deliverance, your word will bring healing to many people today. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, today we're going to look at a story in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 15. Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 15. And the theme is, do not weep. Do not weep. That's going to be the theme for today. And these few verses that we are going to look at shows you the great compassion for those who go through suffering. Jesus has great compassion for those who go through suffering and distress. And Jesus didn't only have compassion upon people thousands and thousands of years ago. He sees where you are at, and his answer to you, his reply to you is, do not weep. Okay? Do not weep. That is what Jesus is saying to you today. Do not weep. Amen. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 15. I shall be reading from the New King James Version. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Amen. As we are gathered here today, I need to let you know that the Spirit of God is in our midst. We just sang it. The Spirit of God is here. He is moving. And the Holy Spirit is present to meet your deepest needs. So allow him in today, and he will transform your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Allow the Spirit of Jesus in, and he will transform your life. Amen. Now let's look at verse 11. Just read Luke chapter 7. Let's look at verse 11. It says, now it happened the day after. It happened the day after. What happened the day before that they are making mention of it? That what happened the day prior to this is that Jesus was going somewhere, and the centurion came to Jesus and pleaded with him to come to his house. Or he sent someone to Jesus and said, please come to my house because my servant is ill to the point of death. So come and heal him. So Jesus was on his way to the centurion's house. But what happened was, just as he was getting closer, the centurion sent another messenger to Jesus and said, do you know what? I'm actually not worthy to have you come under my roof. So, and the centurion said, I am also a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, and he comes. I say to this one, do this, and he does that. So Jesus, you are being a man of authority. Just speak the word from where you are. Don't come under my roof, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus did just that, and the servant was healed. Hallelujah. And when that happened, no one, that hadn't happened before. So the people were shocked. They marveled at what Jesus did. And today I need you to know that, yes, the service is on Zoom. I am at a distance. But the word that I'm speaking is life. And it is going to produce fruit as it comes. So be expectant and receive what I'm saying by faith. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says, I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. That is, it will not return to me useless or without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. When God's word is sent out in power and in the anointing of God, it never returns void. And the words I'm speaking today will not return void. It will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. So receive it by faith. Be expectant, because God is going to do something in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at Jesus' rhythm. Jesus' rhythm was to perform miracles, signs, and wonders wherever he went. At weddings, he performed miracles. At funerals, he did. Even on a fishing trip, he performed miracles. He has empowered us believers, that is, he has filled us with the Holy Spirit to do the same, that wherever we go and when we see a need, we speak into that need and it shall be done. Amen. So today, whatever need you have, as I'm speaking, present it before God, and by faith, those needs will be met. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So we go back to the story. So Jesus healed the centurion's servant, and they marveled. So crowds, I see Jesus when the crowds were following him. So his own disciples followed him, and then crowds were following him as well. And I'm sure people were following him because they wanted to see what else Jesus was going to do. Many a time we read that Jesus went to a certain place and a large crowd or multitude followed him. But these crowds or multitudes just followed as spectators. Some do not place a demand on the anointing for Jesus for their needs. The multitudes or the crowds are just there to see what will happen. They are just passive. Today, please do not be passive. Some people attend church services and they just sit there and watch what is going on. When it is worship time, they sit and they stare at the people worshiping, thinking, what is going on? When it is time to pray, their mouths are shut tightly. Not a word comes out. When the word of God is being preached, they sit there, arms folded, unconcerned. They just look at the preacher as though there's something wrong with the person. That is passivity. That is passivity. That isn't going to help anyone. The spectators just go there and they receive nothing. They just look. Today, I'm praying that that spirit of passivity will be broken, that you will not come as a spectator or as part of the multitude or as part of the crowd just following, but you'll be one of those who place a demand on the anointing today and receive something from Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I give you glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Yes, in let's go to verse 12. Verse 12 of Luke chapter 7 says, and when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out. That is the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. Mothers, I need you to know this is really important. And not just for mothers, for everyone out there. I need you to know that the difficult times that you have been through was not engineered by God. The unfortunate situations that came your way to knock you off your feet was not from God. Some people blame God. They actually blame God when they go through a difficult time or things go sour for them. And they think it is all God's fault. And therefore they don't want to worship God. They don't want to hear God's name. I want you to know, I have news for you. That is not true. John chapter 10 verse 10. Listen to this. And this is going to be an eye-opener for some people. And I pray that today, the lie of the enemy, the deception of the enemy will be broken. John chapter 10 verse 10 from the Amplified Version says, The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. That is to the full, till overflows. Let me read it again. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. God's desire for you is that you will have life and have it abundantly. Anything that has gone wrong in your life was engineered by the devil. So today, whenever something is going wrong, you should not associate it with God. Associate with the devil, the enemy, Satan, who comes to destroy. God is not happy that your marriage went through a difficult time and you ended up becoming a single parent to work, care for your child or children all by yourself and struggle. God is not happy that you were in an abusive marriage and for the sake of your life and that of your children, you had to leave and struggle to raise the children up by yourself. That what you went through was not engineered by God. God is not pleased that you are currently going through an emotional, physical, or mental abuse or that your husband left you for someone else. That is the enemy's strategy. God is not pleased that your husband was selfish and had an affair and now trust is broken within the marriage and you feel betrayed. God is not happy with that. That was not engineered by God. It is the enemy who comes in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Your business that was doing so well, that went sour, that was not from God. That is the enemy who came in to destroy the good thing that you had in your hands. The enemy comes to steal your joy. He comes to steal your peace. He comes to destroy relationships and destroy anything good that is happening in your life. The ultimate goal, the enemy's ultimate goal is to kill your soul. However, Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus' ultimate goal is for you to enjoy your life. So today, Jesus is saying to you, do not weep. Hallelujah. All those things that you have gone through, he's saying, do not weep. There is a way out. There is a way out. There is a way out, but you need to let Jesus in. Hallelujah. You need to let Jesus in. Our God is full of compassion. And his desire is for you to enjoy your life and have it in abundance. God's desire is for you to enjoy life to the full until it overflows. So if your life is not overflowing, then you are not there yet. There is more to come. Even if you are having life good, no, it is not there yet. It needs to overflow. If your business is going well, no, it needs to overflow. If you have children, they are happy, it needs to overflow. They need to excel in what they are doing. They need to be the top in class. Pray that God will expand their capacity to receive. If you are working, you haven't reached the top yet, pray for more because God wants it to overflow for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 7. It says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Do not weep. Christ is great. Compassion is all over you right now. Hallelujah. He says, do not weep. He is able to do above and beyond your request. So do not weep at the situation that is staring you in the face right now. He is Yahweh. He is Yahweh. He can do impossible things. What is impossible for you is possible for him. He's able to turn situations around. Hallelujah. Right now I pray. I command all mountains that is facing you right now to shift out of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever is sitting before, whatever the enemy has brought your way to block your path that has caused you to weep morning and afternoon, day and night, weeks and months, I command that situation to shift right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus is saying to you, do not weep. Do not weep. Do not weep. That situation is turning right now. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. And he says, do not weep about the poverty that you are enduring right now. Come to the cross. Come to the cross because at the cross a divine exchange took place. He took your poverty and he gave you riches. However, you can only access the divine exchange that took place at the cross. You can only exchange your poverty for riches at the cross. There is no other way that you can do it. This woman was a widow. And the son that would have cared for her in her old age and provided for her in her old age suddenly died. That is premature death. Again, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And therefore, this was going to be extreme poverty for this widow. The cross is considered foolishness, but it is on the cross that total provision was made for humanity. At the cross, sin was redeemed and taken away. At the cross, healing was given to us. At the cross, see, Jesus took our sickness and gave us healing at the cross. At the cross, we received redemption and grace and acceptance and inheritance. Satan, however, hates the divine exchange that took place at the cross. And he tries to obstruct the revelation of the cross and uses spiritual influences in the church, such as control, manipulation, pride, and lukewarm. Lukewarm, that is being neither hot nor cold as a believer. Please note that being a lukewarm Christian is the work of the enemy. And this spirit, it is a spirit that causes the love for the Lord to be lost or to be diminished. To lose hunger for the things of God. That spirit causes you to lose hunger. Hear this. That spirit causes you to lose hunger for the things of God. That spirit causes you to lose hunger for even reading the Bible. That spirit causes you to lose hunger for prayer, for worship. All these things become a routine. It becomes boring when you need to attend church and you don't want to attend church. You only attend church on occasions. In other words, the believer who is neither hot nor cold is insensitive to the presence of God. You don't crave the presence of God. You don't crave to fellowship on a Sunday. You don't crave to carve that time for yourself, to go and worship God on your own. That is what the spirit of passivity does, lukewarmness. That is what it does to you. This is what happens when people backslide or they turn away from God. They become insensitive to the Spirit of God. And this is the hallmark of those who just follow. That is the crowd that I referred to earlier. That is what the multitude does. They just go. The multitude just goes to see. They go to service and they stare what is happening. And when they finish, they go home exactly the same way. All these things is what Satan uses to be able to strategize and take focus away from the revelation of the cross, to destroy what Jesus did. Because if Satan can keep people in bondage, if Satan can keep people in fear, if there is no unity, then Satan is winning the battle, then he is succeeding, and that prevents those who don't know him from accessing the provision at the cross. But Jesus died so that everything that the enemy has taken from you would be given back to you. Because what happened was when he died, he went into Hades, and then he went and took away the authority that Adam gave away in the Garden of Eden. He took it away, and then he came back. And he said, believers, here you are. Everything that belongs to you, this is for you. He said in the Garden of Eden, Adam's role was to rule. He was to rule and have dominion over the earth. And therefore, you as a believer, you should rule and have dominion over the enemy. And what happened at the cross is that Jesus went and took, he went to Hades and took that authority that Satan had taken back from you and gave it to you. So right now, you should be able to command those situations that are facing you to move into the sea, and they should move into the sea. Hallelujah. And that is what happened at the cross. That is the divine exchange that happened at the cross. And God wants you to have life and have it in abundance. He wants it to overflow for you. God wants you to come to the point when you see anything coming against you, someone messing your life up, you should go into your prayer closet and pray. And by the time you come out, things should begin to change for the better. If you are in a job and you think promotion is about to walk you by, get into your closet, begin to fast and pray, and of course do your homework, be the best you can in your job, and the favor of God will rest upon you, God's hand will be upon you. Your life should be full and overflowing. That is what God wants for you. He doesn't want anything less. So if you're experiencing less than what I'm talking about, then you need to begin to go on your knees. And I pray that you know this Jesus. If you don't know this Jesus, I will be recommending him to you, that you take him, because when you have Jesus, you have everything, because God is your source. God is your source. Your income is not your source. Your employers are not your source. Your husband is not your source. Your wife is not your source. Your source is God. Because one day, when your employers tell you that we are making you redundant, where is your source going to come from? And it does happen. But when your employers come and they make you redundant, you go to your God and say, God, I am a faithful tither. Your word tells me that I shall test you and see, and you will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings so great. So now that my job is gone, God, I'm depending on you to give me that job. It comes from, and God will do it, because we know God has done it for many people. That is the authority that you should have. Nothing less. If it is less at the moment, you today need to repent of not making use of the authority that God has given you, because you are wasting the work that he did on the cross for you. Hallelujah. Do not weep. Do not weep over the situation that appears dead before you. He is the resurrection and the life. He can resurrect that dead situation. Hallelujah. That is what happened in verse 14. Luke 7:14. Then he, that is Jesus, came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Hallelujah. And he presented him to his mother. What a joy. He who was dead sat up and began to speak. Because why? Jesus went, and the people who were carrying him stood still. What I want you to say is, stop rushing around and stop trying to find solution to the situation that you are going through, and allow Jesus to minister to you. You cannot do a thing about the situation that you are going through. In your own power, you can do nothing. But if you will stop and stand still and allow Jesus to touch you, everything is going to change. Hallelujah. If you would stand still and allow Jesus to touch you, everything will be changed. You need to be still in the presence of God. You need to be still in the presence of God. When I say still, I'm not meaning sit as you are sitting right now, but let your be still in your soul. Let your inner being be still. Be still right there, because the Bible says, in Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know. Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted above the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. God will be exalted above the problems that you have. He will be exalted above everything that is going on in your life right now. But you need to be still. You need to be still. It means quieten your soul. And stop striving. Stop worrying about where your bill, the money is going to come for your bills. Stop worrying about what you are going to wear tomorrow. Stop worrying about how big the bonus is going to be next year. Stop worrying about how big your bank account is going to be in a 6 months' time. Stop worrying about those things. Even as you're listening to the service right now, you are not even concentrating, because you are not still before God. Be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. You need to be still. Stop working 2, 3, 4 jobs so that you can build up loads and loads of money. Stop working all the overtime in the world so that you can get loads and loads of money. Be still and know God will provide. I'm not asking you to sit at home and do nothing because no money will come in. No, you need to go out and work. But do not work all the God-sent hours. That is what I'm saying. Be still and know that I am God. Depend on God. God is your shepherd. He will provide for you. God knows where the green grass is. He would lead you to that place to feed. God knows how to strategize to actually grow your business. Go to God and he will give you the brains to strategize. Mothers, I know some of you are executives. I know some of you are high flyers. I know some of you are CEOs. And yes, God will give you that brain to continue. God will continue to empower you to be the best that you can be. God will continue to help you bring in the ideas in the workplace that they will look at you and say, no, this woman is due for promotion. God is going to do it. You can only do it when you pray. God is going to download the ideas to you. These days when I pray, this is my prayer. That God, you are wisdom. You are wisdom. And for God, I'm coming to you. Download your wisdom into me. Download your knowledge into me. And what I receive, I go and work with. Because my wisdom is foolishness. But God's wisdom, men cannot withstand. At your age, you may think that you are young, but you know what? When you receive God's wisdom and you stand before your peers or even those who are older, they marvel at the way you conduct yourself because you have received wisdom from God. Hallelujah. So if I say, be still and know that I am God, go before God, create that time, carve that time, have that place, the secret place, and go and hide in there. If you are not carving out that secret time, mothers, to receive wisdom from God as to how to navigate this life, you are leaving your family short. Because you are doing it in your strength, and you cannot do it in your strength. When you go to God, he will give you that wisdom, and based on that, you will know how to do things. You will know how to navigate this life. It could even be that the money you have in your hands is not much. And as you pray, God is going to direct you to the shop where things are reduced so that you can get what you need with that little money that is in your hand. It has happened to me before. You pray before you go out, and God is going to lead you to go where you need to go. And I know that not all mothers are poor and they need money. Some are rich, you have it made, and that is good. Continue to pray for more because God wants you to have it and have it to the full. Hallelujah. But you need God in your life. You need God in your life. Quieten your soul. Stop strifing. Receive instructions from God. For he will be exalted above your anxiety, above your fears, above your worries, above everything that is going on in your life. Hear this. Hear this. If you are making notes, write this down. It says, all problems have an expiration date. All problems have an expiration date. As soon as we let Jesus in our situation, evicting notice is given to the problem. As soon as you let Jesus into your situation, an eviction notice is given to the problem that you have. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The presence of God is here right now. And he is touching you right now. He's speaking directly into your situation. So whatever problem you have, remember, this time is up. Whatever problem you have, that situation, there is an eviction notice that I'm issuing to that problem right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So allow Jesus into your situation right now. Allow Jesus into your situation right now. And that problem is going to shift. That problem is going to move. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The same God who parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to walk through on dry ground is parting that problem for you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. When Moses stood before the Red Sea, he was confused. He didn't know what to do. His enemies were behind him, trying to take them back to the land of slavery. And he cried out to God. So begin to cry out to God right now. He's going to part that problem that you are going through. And remember that problem that you are facing is drowning right now. You will never see that problem again. But you need to open your mouth and cry out to God. Because Moses didn't just stand there. He cried out to God. And God said, why are you crying out to me? Touch that Red Sea with the staff that is in your hand. God has given you authority. Begin to speak right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to speak right now and your problems will begin to disappear in the name of Jesus. As you call on Jesus, you're calling on your angels. God has already given the command. God has already given command to your angels for them to protect
protect her, for them to defend her, for them to guide you. You need to call on your angels right now, and they will do just that in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I sense the presence of God right here. And I pray the presence of God to fill every single home, everyone watching. I pray the presence of God to rest upon you. And I pray by faith, claim those answers. By faith, call on God for the very things that you need. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. God is going to fix that which is broken or dead in your life and give it back to you. For when Jesus raised the son back to life, Jesus gave him back to his mother. The dead son raised back to life is a miracle. Hallelujah. Amen. That which is dead in your life is going to be raised back to life. Hallelujah. What is a miracle? A miracle is when God brings order into the impossibilities of men. Hear that. A miracle is when God brings order into the impossibilities of men. God is not a respecter of persons. The same way he did it for someone else, he will do it for you. Amen. The same way God did it for this widow who was going to bury her son, and he raised her, he raised him from the dead, God is going to raise that impossible situation for you. Wherever there is an area of impossibility, remember, you are a candidate for God's miracle to come. Wherever there is an area of impossibility, you are a candidate for God's miracle to come. In Jesus' name I pray. So wherever there is an impossible situation before you right now, I pray for God to break through and come into your situation right now. In Jesus' name I pray. I pray for God to rend the heavens right now, wherever you are, whatever situation. I want you to present your situation before God right now because I'm praying. I want you to present your impossible situation before God right now. Right now, Father, I ask that you rend the heavens, O God, and come down into all these people who are presenting their impossible situations before you. Father, come down, O Lord, that your enemies will scatter in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, some are facing, Father God, unfair, Father God, treatment right now by the law. Father, I pray that that situation will change in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, some are facing, Father God, hardship at work. Maybe they're about to lose their job. Maybe someone, Father God, is making life difficult for them. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I cause, Father God, favor to come upon them right now. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Where there are called judgments on you, I pray and move things in your favor. I pray and move things in your favor. In Jesus' name I pray. I pray for kinsmen redeemers to go before you right now. In Jesus' name I pray. I shift the atmosphere right now. In Jesus' name I pray. The Spirit of God is here. And the Spirit of God is moving. And the atmosphere is changing. It is changing now. And as long as you continue to remain in God's presence, it will change. It will not stop. Because that atmosphere is with you. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Stop believing the lies and deception from the enemy that your life will be boring if you give your life to Jesus or you start following him diligently. That is a lie of the enemy. And today I pray that that lie will be broken in the name of Jesus. Apostle Maldonado says, the devil is always going to tell you what you are going to lose, but he doesn't tell you what you are going to gain when you come to Jesus. Hear that? The devil is always going to tell you what you are going to lose, but he doesn't tell you what you are going to gain when you come to Jesus. So today, I need you to stop believing the lies and deception from the enemy. Listen to what Jesus does when he comes to situations that are dead. So Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He called Lazarus out of the tomb. He asked for the grave clothes to be removed off Lazarus. And Lazarus went on to live his life. Jesus is calling you out of the tomb that society has pushed you in right now. He's calling you out and he's removing the labeling of you. That is the grave clothes that is coming off him. You were told that you'll never amount to nothing. I reject that in the name of Jesus. I reverse that in the name of Jesus. I take those clothes off you in the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus is removing those labels of you. Come to him right now in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I invoke the blood of Jesus over you, that the negativity, the negative environment you have lived in will be removed of you, that you will rise up and become what God created you to be. In Jesus' name. Jesus also came across Jairus' daughter who was dead. And guess what Jesus did? He raised her from the dead and gave her back to her parents. Jesus wants to sort your life out and give it back to you. He's not going to ruin you. So come to Jesus. Jesus says, do not weep. It is good news. Today's message is good news. Do not weep. A father came to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and into water. And Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour. Jesus restored dignity to this boy. That is what Jesus will do for you. Jesus wants to restore dignity to you. So stop holding back and come to Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. You have to be still and allow Jesus into your life. Allow Jesus to minister to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not serve a historical God. He's a God of the now. He performed miracles in the Bible. He still does it today. We are doing it in SSBC, and I've been praying over you all through the preacher, and God is doing it for you. He is doing it for you, so receive it by faith. He receive it by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. God sees the hidden needs of those who are well off. I said, I know that some of you mothers are not like the poor widow who didn't have much to live on. I know some of you mothers, you have made it bigger. Some of you are CEOs. Some of you are in corporations. Some of you own your own business. God bless you. May God continue to increase you in what you are doing. But remember, you cannot do without God. You cannot do without God. You cannot do without God. There is a hidden need that God can meet for you. And he's meeting that need right now in the mighty name of Jesus. There is a story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 to 32. I will leave you to read that. But it talks about the Shunammite woman. She was not poor. She had everything she needed. And one day Elijah said to her, what can I do for you? She said, I don't need anything. And Elijah stood there and said, no, but I need to do something for this woman. And his servant said, but she has no son and her husband is older. For that, Elijah prayed and she received a son. And this son suddenly died. Guess what Elijah did? She prayed and the son came back to life. Whatever it is in your life that the enemy prematurely takes from you, I reject that and I command it back into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, today I am calling you to Jesus. I am calling you to Jesus. It says, stop believing the lies and deception from the enemy that your life will be boring when you give your life to Jesus. No, listen. God is going to make it well for you. He's saying, Jesus is saying, do not weep. Jesus is stopping for you right now. The way he was on his way, he saw the widow weeping because she was going to bury her only son. And he stopped for her. He stopped for her and raised that son back to life. Jesus is stopping for you right now. And he is raising back that which is dead in your life. And he's giving it back to you. So right now, I'm saying the same great compassion that Jesus showed to the widow who was going to bury her son, he is showing that same compassion to you right now. It is the same compassion that Jesus showed to the world that he died on the cross for you and I. Jesus chose to lay aside his majesty. Jesus chose to lay aside his majesty. He chose to be born to die. He took your punishment. He took my punishment. He was humiliated on the cross. He died in your place and he died in my place that we will go free. Jesus knows your suffering. He knows everything about you because before you were there, before you suffered, he was there. He was on the cross. He took on your sins. He took on my sins. And his father turned away. At that point, he was separated from his father. Begin to look at the cross and appropriate it for yourself. Because when Jesus died on the cross, there was an exchange, as I have said, that took place. That you were saved, you were healed, you were delivered, your curses exchanged for blessings. And so right now, I invite you, I appeal to you today, mothers and everyone today, I appeal to you to leave a legacy for the next generation so that they will also not weep, that they will know Jesus. This Jesus was born to die. He died for our sins. He was raised back to life. He ascended to heaven. And guess what? Before Jesus even ascended to heaven, he himself said that he will be back again. Angels, at the point of he ascending to heaven, and the disciples were looking up to heaven, angels stood and said to the disciples, why are you looking up? This Jesus who has gone will come back the same way he did. Scriptures declare that he will come back again. And this Jesus that I'm talking about, that I'm presenting to you, he has ascended to heaven, but he will come back again. When he comes back, that is the second coming. He is coming for those who are walking in obedience to his word. And he will come and take, that is called the rapture, that he will come and take those away. So if today you are here and you don't know Jesus, I am appealing to you that you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or if you know Jesus, then as I'm going to pray, begin to pray for the people that you don't know. Because I believe it is great wickedness, injustice, that you know Jesus, but you will not present Jesus to your loved ones. And one day, Jesus will come back and he will take you and you will leave your loved ones behind in the great tribulation. How will they cope without you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you fill every home right now with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, rest upon every home right now. In Jesus' name I pray. The Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Today, if you will repent of your sins and believe wholeheartedly that Jesus suffered and died and was raised from the dead for your sins, you will be saved. So right now, wherever you are, if you desire to receive the greatest gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, please raise your hands and I'll pray with you right now. Wherever you are, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are not sure that at the second coming, you will actually go and you'll be raptured with him, and that you will not have to worry about the great tribulation, then I need you to raise your hands and I'm going to pray with you right now. If there is a loved one in your home who doesn't know Jesus, you can raise up your hands. And as I pray, you pray for that person, and then you find the opportunity to speak to that person. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to pray. Please accompany me on this prayer and repeat it in an audible voice. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I recognize that I am a sinner and that my sin separates me from you. I freely repent from all my sins and confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe he died for my sins. I believe with all my heart that God the Father raised him from the dead. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and change my life. I renounce all covenants with the world, the enemy, and my flesh. If I die right now, when I open my eyes, I will be in your arms. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, welcome to the family of God. I say, the Bible says that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Hallelujah. I give you glory. Jesus says, do not leave.